May grace, peace from God our Father be with you and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. We shall quieten to hear the word of God, which I shall read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning with verse 25 to verse 34. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Dear journey friends, for some reason, up until now, I have been listening to sermons of the brothers pretty carefully. And I've noticed that at least six brothers have taken a text from the book of Acts. And it has felt like they have dealt with these areas pretty extensively and thoroughly. But I was thinking, just like Paul, when he wrote to a certain congregation, that even if I write to you in one way, I won't be angry, because it shall make you stronger. And so, right now, with that gift which God has given me, I want to start reading this portion of God's words, reread it. And I know that there are a lot of people who want prayers of intercession. And I also think that you have asked the Heavenly Father that God would give a proclamation or a sermon that is simple and childlike, and which would be building or edifying the congregation of God. And I also know that not all journey escorts are on a celebratory group on the way to heaven. Instead, there are many brothers and sisters who have experienced pressures of this time. There have been attacks by the enemy of souls, and there have been sorrows, whatever they may be, on this of this time. So may God, through his poor servant, encourage all of you to believe simply this, that God has said that I will lift, I will carry, and I will bring you to the end. These stories about mission work, which were written by the Dr. Luke, are very interesting to read and interesting to hear. It is with great interest that I have read from the publication called Sioni Lehti and from Päivämies, where they write about trips taken by the brothers, both within this country and abroad. And one thing I have noticed is that even today, or I should say, today, the brothers or preachers do not have the same trials that Paul and Silas did, for example. Before our text, it tells us what Paul, with his brothers, that Paul and other brothers had been traveling through an area, and they were intending to preach the word of the Lord in Asia. But the Holy Spirit, by a miracle, prevented them from preaching the word of God. And when they continued on, the same thing was repeated. They were unable to preach the word of the Lord. It is said that Paul had a vision at night, how there was a man in Macedonia praying, "Come to Macedonia. Come and help us." And so Paul understood that it was God's will that the living gospel would be taken here to the European side. So the brothers set off on a journey. And they entered the capital city of Macedonia called Philippi. And that was where they started proclaiming the word of God. They knew that at a certain place alongside a river, people would come together and pray on the day of rest. So the brothers decided to exploit the circumstances, and they went among that group of people and they proclaimed the living gospel. And it is said that there was a certain merchant, a seller of purple dye named Luria. God had opened her heart to receive the living gospel. Dear friends, it is entirely the work of God. That is this matter of faith. It is not as it has been sometimes supposed that or claimed that believers pressure others to believe. Here, listen. If this was the case, then I'm sure that there would not be a single unbelieving person in the place of Alajärvi, because there are so many nice people in Alajärvi that we would surely have brought this living faith to them while they were sleeping, for instance. Instead, it is a personal matter for every single person. That's why it's not possible to take this to another person by pressuring them. Instead, God is so unlimited in his love that even at these services he has proclaimed the heart of God even to unbelieving friends. And he has spoken and warned and said, dear friends, today when you hear the inviting word of Christ, do not harden your hearts, for God has not promised any of us to have a tomorrow. That's why it is extremely important that you would now believe the gospel. And then it says that when those brothers have been traveling, they started to be, there was a servant girl who started to follow them, and she was possessed by a devil, or possessed by a spirit of, by an evil spirit. And she had used this magic or evil spirit to earn a fortune, and she had somehow inherited this from her dad. But this servant girl obeyed the brothers, and she said, and she knew that these men are men who are proclaiming the way of salvation. These are the servants of God. And she said it many days, but Paul told this spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave her. And so then this evil spirit of witchcraft left the servant of this girl. And when there was no longer this evil witchcraft spirit, then the Holy Spirit was able to live. And when the girl's owners or host realized that this was to their misfortune, they became extremely angry. And they took these brothers before the government or before the courts. And imagine, they said, these men who had the gospel of peace to preach, who were preaching peace to the people, they claimed that these men were disturbing our city's way of life, and they are teaching us habits or customs that we cannot follow or receive or accept. And so what happened was that these men representing the government whipped or caned or striped these men. They got a real beating. Their clothing was received. Their clothing was stripped, and they were truly beaten. And then, as they were considered dangerous prisoners, they were taken into the deepest tower of the prison and tied with two bands and tied to a stock or fixed item. And so the guards surely thought that they would not be able to escape from there, but since God had different ideas, we read in our text what happened. But imagine, I've tried to identify or place myself in the place of those brothers, and I've thought that if I had to go through what those guys had to do on a service trip, I really doubt that I would be singing songs of praise. But we know that those brothers consisted of two parts, just as we do, but God gave them strength. And they had been listening to Jesus' doctrine, in which they were supposed to pray on behalf of their enemy. And so they prayed, and then they sang with songs of praise, and saying that they had the opportunity to suffer, just like Paul says, I wish to show them how much they need to suffer in my name. And anyways, it says that there was suddenly a great earthquake. You can't really understand this with your rational mind, but when God gets involved in things, this earthquake was so sudden and so strong that the bands of those prisoners fell off, and all the prisoners were released. And the guard, who had fallen asleep and thought that it's perfectly safe to sleep because those prisoners are so well tied up, when he woke up and saw that all the prisoners are released, he thought he would be executed to death, put to death. And so he thought, I'll do it myself. But when Paul saw what he was going to do, he said, dear person, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Imagine. Paul didn't want to exact revenge, nor was he bitter. And his nature was not as temperamental as those people who wanted the sky to strike with fire. Those people had mistreated them. No. What Paul wanted was that that person would not harm himself. And as our text says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, trembling at the feet of those brothers. And he brought them out and said, sirs, he calls those broken those prisoners, those brothers who had been beaten, he calls them sirs. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It was easy for these brothers to start proclaiming the word of God to that guard, prison guard. And imagine, God had organized and guided everything so that this person selling purple dye, Lydia, and all of her family were baptized. And now this prison guard and his family also received the grace of repentance. And here is something that should be considered very emphatically, something I want to stress, and something which children of God surely know. But I know that these sermons are being heard by, these sermons of faulty people are being heard also by people who do not, as Luther says, living faith is born and is generated from that sweet sermon of a living God, the essence of which was in those days and which is even today, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, even as it is proclaimed even today. In Jesus' name and precious holy name and precious atoning blood, the forgiveness of sins is preached. Furthermore, this office of preaching the gospel, it is not the same as it is not an office of speaking as it has sometimes been claimed. Instead, we remember that when Jesus sent his own, he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Therefore, even today, it is an office of the Spirit, not an office of the Word. And when this gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit was spoken, the prison guard wanted to believe this gospel, and it is said here that they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They spoke to this newborn. They spoke the word of God to him. It was like they were holding his hand and teaching this prison guard, this newborn, how to believe. And isn't it amazing that when this prison guard was able to believe, his heart was filled with the love of God. I'm sure there are travel escorts here who have been helped into this kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness or from the darkness of the world. My journey friend, you surely remember how you received the power to believe the gospel of the heavenly heaven. And when it was proclaimed to you, the forgiveness of when the sin debt of 10,000 talents was forgiven unto you completely, you remember how your heart was filled with joy and with happiness. And even now, you still sing that hymn, "How I Remember That Day of Blessedness When Jesus Found Me, One Who Had Been Judged for His Sins." But surely you have experienced the same thing that many children of God on this narrow way have experienced, that even though the beginning was so wonderful and it felt like we are just ready to enter the heaven. Isn't it so that when these feelings of grace dissipated or disappeared, they were replaced with many doubts and sins? And many times, as the songwriter says, you have wondered, will this traveler who is so unsuccessful ever arrive on the harbor of salvation? Therefore, even today, at these services, you have come to these services where the gospel of the kingdom of God is proclaimed so preciously, where even the most weakest one has been approached, the most failing one has been, the journey friend who has failed the most has been approached, and he has been encouraged. And I too, in my speaking turn, I wish to encourage those of you who are traveling on this narrow way, uplift your hearts to believe. Even those temptations of the enemy of soul, all of your journey faults in the name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and blood. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name and blood, you can to believe. You have the right and the permission to believe, all sins forgiven. In the name and blood of the Lord Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. And here in our text, it says that prison guard took them at that moment, at that same hour of the night, and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Back in those days, just as it is today, the way it worked was that baptism was not the place of rebirth, but just as Jesus sent and gave the command of baptism, just as he gave the sacrament of communion, they were given to strengthen our faith. And this thing of baptism, which the apostles considered extremely important and essential, it has been given as a covenant of good conscience. And so in those special occasions which are organized, even in believing homes, are occasions which are remembered preciously. And the little brothers and sisters remember how they had a baptismal ceremony in their house, just as it was in one house. There was a little boy. And when the priest left the house, left this baptismal ceremony, the little boy said, "Won't you come back next year? We'll have a new baby anyway." That little boy was not of the opinion that we should use contraception. He too knew and he understood that children were gifts of God. And God, humans have not been created to control these things as it is taught in the world. And they are so confused or about our believers' large families. And it is wonderful that Finland has a future and Zion has a future, when even here there are small children, boys and girls. And oh, how I should have, above all, or first of all, spoken to you little boys and girls, when I think of how you are the best friends of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And that's why I want to bless you, just like Jesus blessed them. He would take them into his lap, and he would bless them, the children, the boys and the girls. You too can believe that all sins forgiven in the name of that Good Shepherd, Jesus. And in the last verse of our text, it says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What an extremely big event it was when this entire family of the prison guard, just as it was in the case of the purple merchant Lydia and her whole house, became believers. The Bible does not tell us the size or how many other people, how many others had repented as these brothers continued their preaching. They were there for a few days, as it says here. And then they were able to continue. I don't remember where they went after this, but in any case, they were the first ones to introduce to Europe the living gospel. And it has been able to spread so far that today there are children of God in such great numbers together, hearing and listening to the word of the Lord. In conclusion, I would like to say that since I know there are people listening to the radio who are precious to me, they are familiar to me, and they are certainly listening to these weak words, I want to remind you, my friends who are in unbelief, take steps to repentance quickly before it becomes too late. Because if death comes when you are in unbelief, the damage is the kind that cannot be repaired. But now, it is still proclaimed that the Lord Jesus Christ wishes to approach you who are not partakers of grace. You too can believe. Your sins forgiven. You have the permission and even the right to believe. Your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood which flowed on the ground. And dear journey friends, feeling tempted and doubting coming here, I dare ask, can you forgive me all my sins? That is the wish of my heart, to remain believing. And you too, journey friend, escort, remain believing, comforted, securely, believing your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Amen.